is Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio. As our regular listeners know, we rebroadcast Local Talk at noon and 7 p.m. But during COVID-19 response, the Ames Public Library is preparing a special program which will air only at noon on Wednesdays. So if you were expecting Local Talk, it's delayed until 7 p.m. Telling us what to expect at noon today and during the rest of our COVID-19 response programs, we have Kathy Cooney from the Ames Public Library. Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So what is this special program that's preempting Local Talk?
Well, we're calling it Reading Radio. Each week we have a different theme, and the first half hour is a children's story time led by our youth services manager, Jerry Hyde. The second half hour is geared a little bit more toward adults and teens, and it's packed with all kinds of great recommendations for things to watch or read. And so we're having a lovely conversation about that in that second half hour.
So is there anything else that our listeners ought to know so that they can tune in at noon?
Just that it's going to be a fantastic time.
That's a great lead-in to today's COVID-19 response show. As Kathy Cooney mentioned, Ames Public Library will be contributing a show to brighten your week. It will air first at noon today, and if you miss it or want to recommend it to a friend, it will also be available on Saturday, April 18th at 2 p.m. My co-host for today is Pat Schlarbaum, who brings us his interview with Carolyn Raffensperger, Executive Director of the Science and Environmental Health Network. Great to share the mic with you today.
And hello to you, the listener. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, by way of introduction, Carolyn Raffensperger believes strongly in wildlife reintroductions. And before retirement, I had the good fortune of working with passionate environmental folks that wanted to return barn owls, river otters, and prairie chickens, to name a few. Here's Carolyn. Okay, hi, Carolyn Raffensperger, the director of the Science and Environmental Health Network.
Hello.
What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, what's on my mind today, at this moment, is a little bit different than what we talked about earlier today. So you and I had a conversation that we thought was being recorded, and it wasn't. And so the dialogue that we had intended for the listeners of KHOI has been lost. And I was thinking about loss in light of that, the words that you and I had exchanged, the spirit of ideas that we had put out into the world together.
Yes.
And they're gone. They're gone.
A story is always best the first time.
Yes. And I wondered about loss generally. I wonder if it was meant to be lost. And at the same time, there's, you know, a little bit of sorrow that the intention, the gift that we had tried to give the listeners of this wonderful radio station are gone. Huh? And, you know, this in some ways is a time of loss. COVID-19 is a loss of our ordinary habits.
Well, a lot of the students are disappointed in missing the prom and graduation. And, yeah, there's a lot of things that simply aren't going to happen.
That are not going to happen, and a lot of our daily life has been upended. Many of us cannot see our friends. You know, you and I usually get together in the woods or even in my living room and sit near enough each other to, you know, for me to have the microphone and for you to ask questions. Yeah. And we've lost even that ability to be close enough together to have that visual give and take. Yeah. And so I want to speak about loss and how we manage that now, how we feel about it.
Or how we adapt to that.
Or how we adapt.
Yeah.
But grief is fine. And I know that some students are listening to KHOI and Local Talk as part of their school assignments. And so I want to speak especially to you, where the world is still new. If you are 16 or if you're 14 or what, or if you're 80, this is not what we have been living day by day or month by month or have come to expect. And so the loss of so much might be pressing on you listening to me and to a Pat in, you know, the quiet of your home. And I want to say that, you know, the loss that you feel in this, it's fine to feel that, and it's fine to grieve. So often Pat and I talk about the wild things out there. And, you know, when we talk, Pat, you and I could both describe huge changes in the landscape of the world in Iowa or even, you know, beyond to their larger Midwest, the flyways of the Mississippi and the Missouri, and how much has been lost even in our lifetimes. And I think about those losses and how we adapt. But one of the things that you stand for when I think of you and your presence in my life and in the world is that some things can be restored. And today, in speaking to you and to the listeners, to acknowledge much has been lost. Much has been lost. But you are skilled in the restoration and what it takes to bring things back. And I want to also say that the world is going to be different. We do not know what it's going to look like after this. But it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to work very hard for the beauty to be restored, the wild to be restored, the connections to be restored, the relationships between those with our friends, with our family, with our loved ones, with the natural world. We can work to restore those. And the things that you do now, if you can be careful in everything that you do to take a stitch towards mending, a stitch towards restoration, then you will have made a contribution to restoring what is sane and what is reverent and what is beautiful in this world.
One thought that comes to mind are the changes and the ability to adapt to changes through evolution. That's kind of what's brought us to these moments. So to kind of squander in the loss, it's easy to revel in the revelry when things are going well. But it's kind of during times like this is when life happens.
So when life happens. It's also the measure of resilience.
Yeah.
That the tree that can bend in the wind and not break is the one that will survive. And so I know that many of our listeners today are feeling like they might break in the wind, that you might not be able to survive. And if you are terribly depressed, if you are feeling that there is no hope for the future, look around and ask a couple of things. One is if there's another person you can tell. And the other thing is there something you can do for one other person or one other creature, a bird or an animal or a neighbor? Can you do one thing to make their life a little bit better? And the one thing that I can assure you, that I can give you my word, is if you do that thing for a neighbor or for a friend or for nature, that you will feel a tiny bit better. It may not make everything better. It may not make your parents stop fighting. It may not guarantee that you're going to have food on the table the next day. But it will allow you to feel a little bit better. Your life matters in this, just as the cardinal matters. I don't know if part of our conversation that got lost was about the cardinals making the sounds of warning and what sounds of nature are being heard right now. You know, giving the sound of my voice to you as a listener and you giving me that quiet for my voice to fill that give and take of reciprocity. And the thing about the birds that are sounding their call right now in the spring is that they're making territorial calls, as you rightly pointed out. They're saying, whoa, you're too close to where I might build a nest. And they're making those courting sounds. You know, so many of us have grown up on great love songs, part of our courting sounds that we make, music. And the birds that are making those courting sounds and those territorial sounds. And the sounds change over the seasons. And the one thing I know is that our sounds that we're making of loss right now, of gratitude for if we have a roof over our heads or enough food or a friend to talk to, the gratitude sounds that we can make, we will be making other sounds in the fall. And I invite you, if you're listening, to think about the calls that you're making as a creature in this world. Are you making distress calls? Are you making angry calls? Are you making distancing calls? And how will those change over time? What calls do you want your own soul to make?
You're centering us quite nicely in the moment of experiencing the moment. Whether it's a joyful moment or a grieving moment or an introspective moment or a time to feel grateful or a time to feel like helpful to your neighbor. Being in the moment is really what's going to carry us into our tomorrows.
Yeah, there's a wonderful song that a British folk rock group did, and I can't remember their name right now, but it's "This Moment is Different from Any Before It. This Moment is Different. It's Now. And if I don't kiss you, that kiss is untasted. I'll never, no, never get it back. But why should I want you? I'll be in the next moment. Sweet moment, sweet lover, sweet now. We're in this moment. We don't have the next moment, and the last moment has passed. The moment where we did that other conversation is past. And you and I are in this conversation now with your listeners, with our listeners, with the natural world. This is where we are right this minute.
And there is a lot of courtship calling. The songbirds are active. The little foxes are starting to yelp. And there are things to hear. Life is going on.
What sounds do the foxes make in the spring?
They yip. They're pretty excited when the food comes around. So there's a lot of yipping. And they're getting just big enough now to kind of be outside the den. And
the foxes have had their young.
Yes.
And they're getting food. And they're just getting outside of the den. Well, there's foxes all around Ames. And if you're lucky, you'll get to see one. Yeah. I often have foxes out. They den about every other year in my backyard. And I have to tell you, one of my favorite things in the entire world that I am looking forward to as much as anything is when the fireflies come out in June. That's something we have to look forward to, fireflies.
Yeah.
And if I've had foxes den in my backyard, the little ones will dance on their back legs and try and catch the fireflies.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it is not like anything else I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah,
I would live for June if I could see foxes dance to catch the fireflies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And you're right, they have kind of moved into the urban areas to, there's more and more coyotes out in the landscape in the countryside. So the foxes are learning to kind of work with us. They like our mice and our bunnies, and people seem to attract those, and we make a lot of rabbitat. And the foxes have kind of become an urban critter in our lifetime. They've adapted. They've kind of gotten away from the coyotes. Gosh, when I was growing up, there weren't any coyotes in the 50s. And lo and behold, there's a lot of coyotes now.
It's my understanding that foxes and coyotes don't necessarily get along.
That's right.
And what is the social distancing?
Well, the fox
that they
just
practice?
Leaves. They're just canine against canine. And there's generally coyotes are just that much larger and usually go in groups. and a lot of times a fox is pretty solitary. So they're generally outnumbered. So there's a niche, if you will,
that the foxes are utilizing,
yeah, in your backyard and entertaining you with the fireflies yet to come.
Yeah, so, the foxes will, and to watch them sleep in the sun.
Yeah.
And, well, you've just lit a spark of joy in my heart thinking about foxes, which are, yeah. I didn't expect this conversation.
Oh, well, you know, that's, life is what it is. It's all around us. Try to experience the moment and get through the grief and the loss of the COVID-19 response. Anything else, Carolyn?
I just want to speak to the again to those students who are listening and say, I know the world is frightening right now. And I hope that you know that you are as treasured as that fox, that you are as beautiful and wondrous as the firefly, the light of your own soul. And this time we will get through, if we can get through it together. The one thing about a bundle of sticks is that it's stronger and harder to break than a single stick. And together we can do this. Together we can get through. If you watch for your friend and see if they're hungry and see if we can get them food, or if you see if someone is depressed to the point that they're not going to choose to live, that your presence can make all the difference. The light in your soul can make all the difference. But if you're feeling those sorts of that depressed or that frightened, I want you to know how precious you are, that you are no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here in this world. And we, as older people, I am older. I have a birthday this week, and I'm certifiably old. And I want my life to be dedicated to making sure that you have a future, and that you have a future with that fox and with the fireflies, and that you have enough night in the night sky so that you can see those fireflies. That's my dedication to you. That's my dedication to you.
We'll talk again. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Pat.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk. We're your hosts, Susan Franzen and Pat Schlarbaum. We've been visiting with Carolyn Raffensperger, Executive Director of the Science and Health Network. Our next guest will be Henry Corbin, the new Executive Director of Nevada Main Street. But one of the remarkable things about Nevada is that they have a very large number of bears. So I thought we'd like to hear a phenology on bears in Iowa. I didn't even realize there were bears in Iowa.
Yeah, well, there are bears, particularly in the driftless area of northeastern Iowa. And at this time, black bears are not identified as a wildlife species to manage, and therefore are not protected in the Iowa Code, according to Vince Evelsizer with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Iowa does not currently have a breeding population of black bears. However, neighboring states of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Missouri do have breeding populations of black bears. So it is very possible that Iowa will get an occasional bear wandering in from a neighboring state. A farmer friend in far northeast Iowa relates that he can tell when a black bear gets close to his dairy cows. According to Phil Specht, his cows are all keyed up and distracted, and milk production is diminished due to bears near his farm. And it appears bear reproduction could occur in the driftless area of northeast Iowa in our lifetime.
The reason I wanted to learn more about bears in Iowa was that there was a front-page story in the Nevada Journal headlined, Going on a Bear Hunt. So I thought the best person to tell us about it was Henry Corbin, the new executive director of the newly designated Main Street Cultural District. Do you have bears on Main Street, Henry?
Oh, we were overrun for a while. They were everywhere. Front lawns, windows, just overrun. But Actually, it was a fun community, I guess community bears. no, it was a great idea that originated to help help kind of the kids and I guess indirectly also help the parents and adults around the community kind of shake off the cabin fever and get some fresh air and have some fun during these last few weeks. And it had a fun and entertaining effect.
There's a disconnect here for me. I mean, are these little bear cubs?
Well, they're teddy bears, so they're a little more friendly, but, you know, they're a little easier to put in your front window. I wouldn't recommend doing it with a live one, but, we had, teddy bears, around the community get, placed in windows, some large ones put in rocking chairs in the front yard, and, it was a fun tour where people could go around and try and find how many bears they could locate, and, I've never seen so many teddy bears suddenly appear. I missed that first, that first email talking about doing it. And so I kept walking around and seeing all these teddy bears in windows. And that first day I was a little confused on it. And then when I saw the postings, it made a lot of sense. And it was a lot of fun just going around the community and hunting for the bears.
Well, how did they get started? You said Facebook? Is that right?
Yeah. So it seemed to originate on Facebook, and then it really got popular when our local police department started taking photos with them while they were out on patrols. And the photos are just hilarious and heartwarming and fun, and it just gave people a good laugh. And you know, they're on Facebook, and then they actually made it on the news. And it's just become this kind of fun, lighthearted. It went for several weeks, and then it switched to Easter eggs right at Easter. So people started putting up all sorts of cardboard Easter eggs, all sorts of things. But the bears had taken over for a while.
Okay. Well, I'll see if we can't find Teddy Bear Picnic in our music archives. Say goodbye to you. Okay. So, well, I guess you have other things going on in Nevada besides bear hunts or bear. Yes, that's what it was. It was a bear hunt.
Yep. Yeah. We've really, really been working together as a community. You know, it's something amazing during this time that I love about this town. We love coming together even when we can't come together. So one of the fun things that our fire department has done is help kids who can't have their birthday party celebrate. And what's better for a kid than watching the fire engine come by with the lights and sirens going and, you know, firefighters waving to them and, you know, that's been a lot of fun. We've had a few of them in my neighborhood, and it is fun to watch those kids come running out into the front lawn and the fire engine go by. And even as an adult, it's fun. You know, it's that little bit in you that just loves seeing those fire engines and, you know, hearing the siren, seeing them go. And that's been something just fun that the fire department's been doing. They've really helped out and really helped at just keeping the spirits up and keeping the town happy as it can and giving us something fun to think about.
Yeah, well, this is, I think on Monday, or maybe it was yesterday, Ursula mentioned that in New York City, at Mount Sinai Hospital, when a COVID-19 patient is released, healthy, they run sirens, they have sirens, and the sirens are going all the time. So this is a different way to use a siren in response to COVID-19. Your real job, your job that you're hired to do as Main Street coordinator actually turns out to be a different kind of job than you expected, right?
You know, I'm realizing, you know, Main Street came into play. We became a Main Street this last summer, came into play, we started projects right away. And then when COVID came up, our mayor came to us and to the Nevada Economic Development and asked us to help out with the COVID effort and with relief in regards to that. And so Main Street's been helping out in regards to connect volunteers with those who can use them. The organizations, they're in dire need for volunteers, support to deliver meals. We've been connecting that, but also those who are per se maybe in need of a meal or in need of a food delivery or something along those lines, groceries. They contact us and we help put them into contact with a group or an individual who can help bring them those goods. And so, you know, our organization has stepped up in regards to that. And the same can be said for Nevada Economic Development. They've stepped up to help with the child care situation in town. So many groups in our community have stepped out of the box of what their normal tasks are and have completely and wholeheartedly gone into support and relief and helping those around them. And the same can be said for our businesses. They have done an amazing job at helping meet the relief effort, helping meet the needs of those around them. And it's been amazing to watch this community come together in one of the most stressful, intense times of our lifetimes and pull together and know that they have a job to do and that they can do it.
Well, I would imagine that there are some businesses, probably quite a few businesses, that are threatened with their own existence making it through this, particularly I think of restaurants. So are the restaurants packaging meals and delivering them? Or?
Yeah. So we have a good percent of restaurants downtown, and it's really good when all your restaurants are local favorites. But they have done a very good job at adapting to it and delivery. And my favorite thing is to see a long line of cars to the drive-up window or see their delivery car constantly moving and not sitting still. And that makes me feel good that our town is still supporting them. On Facebook, it's fun to see people doing kind of a buffet of Nevada, and you know, every day of the week they're ordering something or they're supporting a business and people are posting on Facebook. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's interesting to see how you use Facebook. For example, you had the city leaders, I guess the mayor and council people and the superintendent of schools and you were on a community coffee. Was that what it was called?
Yeah. So we've done in-person community coffees for a fairly long period of time. And this month we decided, well, let's do a Zoom. So Mayor Barker connected with a few of us and brought us in on a Zoom community coffee that was put on Facebook. And we had a amazing turnout, and it might be something we have to look at doing in the future. We had many people tune in, and it was a fun time to be able to do it and have that good attendance. And people said they enjoyed it too.
Well, it was interesting. I tuned in for part of it, and at the end, there was the question I'm sure that's on the minds of many people in Nevada. They asked to the superintendent of schools, what about the prom and what about graduation? What are we going to do? And he answered the question, I guess, satisfactorily, which is we're going to postpone it, but we'll have it, right?
Yep. No, and, you know, that's something the school has been working hard at is figuring out how they can still, you know, still do these things that, you know, students hold, you know, in such high regard, and it's such a rite of passage, you know, graduation ceremony is such an important thing. And, you know, prom is a fun thing just to be able to say you went. And, you know, those are important things that I think a whole new appreciation for them has come back. And our school's working hard to be able to do things like that and continue to support our children and students in our community.
Well, this is all really, really important. And it's interesting to find new ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had to become very resourceful and adapt very quickly. And, we're learning constantly. And I can say that I am learning every day I step into the office.
Yeah, I bet you are. And also counting the minutes until it's over. But actually, I think everybody, I don't know whether it's different from other parts of the country. But as you know, I've been particularly concerned with small towns in our listening area. And I just love these towns. Each has a personality. Each has, a unique history. And incidentally, I know that you grew up with the Historical Society mowing the lawns at yep. Lilac Lane. I'm glad to see a strong historical presence on your Facebook page, or one of them. You have more than one?
Well, our Main Street Facebook page is the main venue for those historic facts, but we say we're about history, but we're also about making history. When we make a decision or something, I always think, 20 years down the road, 40 years down the road, or even 100 years down the road, what are people going to look back on this and think? And that comes from me being such a history nut and just looking back on 100 years ago on Nevada. And those historical facts on Henry's history, which we put on Facebook, those have just been fun because, some people know about them, some don't. I try to throw in some mixed or fun histories every now and then, and it starts amazing conversations.
Well, you have a pretty amazing historical event going on right now. I noticed on your Facebook page you had the original paving of Main Street, which was slated to be repaved or I don't know all that's involved in that in 2021, but I see that that's happening right now. Would you talk about the lemons and lemonade there?
Yeah, so our 6th Street, our Main Street district, is currently going through a infrastructure project. It's a 2-year project, starting this year, continuing next year. But that includes new sewers, utility, and then new sidewalks, street, light poles, pretty much everything between the buildings will be brand new. And we're currently in the middle of it. But through two, per se, stressful events with the COVID shutdown and then the street project, they've just by chance lined up with each other. And so with the businesses currently using drive-throughs, and other means and not actually having that foot traffic coming into their restaurants and businesses, it was decided to kind of alter the phasing of the project to try and complete the entire stretch, three blocks of that main downtown area while this shutdown is happening, so that it'll have the least impact on foot traffic and business for those businesses and restaurants downtown. It's a dirt road, currently is with the joke, if you see Nevada Facebook page, you'll see the project. They've got the streets completely torn out and new sewer lines are going in. It's a great project. It'll be amazing when it's complete. It was a stress for our businesses, and these two events lining up, we're hoping to be able to take those lemons and make some lemonade out of it, and the fact of trying to kind of shrink that impact of the street project on the businesses.
Oh, well, that's a, is there anything else that I haven't asked you about?
Well, we're working hard as a community, and we've got some great restaurants and great businesses. And I invite locals to try those businesses, call for takeout, support them. Talk with your neighbors too. Even a phone call can mean a lot. And so we're really pushing that, we're more than just, neighbors on a block. We're connected and we're a family of a community. So communication is such an important thing right now.
Well, I think that's what KHOI is trying to do with our COVID-19 response programs. And in connection with that, something I mentioned at the beginning of the program was probably a little puzzling to a lot of our listeners, is the library in this period, the Ames Public Library, decided to have the story time broadcast. I don't know whether, I think it's probably also on Facebook or Zoom or something, but they have, we're going to be broadcasting it. And then with tips of things coming up, tips for things coming up are something we often do on Local Talk. But, you know, most of the things that we normally talk about, like theater productions and concerts and so forth, aren't happening. So, this is, but this of course is, done by the Ames Public Library, but a lot of these things are certainly applicable for Nevada or Webster City or, you know, anybody who can hear us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We, through Main Street, Iowa, we were always told to do R&D, which for most people is research and development, but we were told rip off and duplicate. You know, you see great ideas on Pinterest and Facebook, and, you know, I've started a Pinterest page, and it's just ideas, and, you know, it's amazing to see things, and you look at it, and it's like, oh, I never thought of that, but that would work really well, or, you know, things along that line. And, you know, it's fun to see what others are doing around you.
Well, I hope this spirit will continue after the pandemic is a dim memory, which is hard to imagine at the moment. Well, thanks for coming in via Zoom, and it's fun. Actually, it's fun to look at you in your background with the Nevada bear paw in behind your head, which was, that was another fun thing about your community coffee. Although I was really amazed that your mayor was sitting out in front of the city hall, thought, how nice, it's such a nice day. But, you know, other people didn't have quite such classy backgrounds. How did he happen to be sitting in front of the city hall?
Well, you know, our mayor is very tech savvy, and, you know, he might be using a green screen. Otherwise, he'd be braving the cold a lot more. But no, he's got a fancier background than a few of us. But you know, it's been fun, and we've kind of kidded around with him on it.
Okay.
If you go out in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. If you go out in the woods today, you'd better not go alone. Mm-mm. It's lovely out in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them catch them unawares and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily dance about. They love to play and shout and never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy.
Our last guest is John Lawrence, Vice President of Iowa State Extension, who contacted us to talk about the centennial of that organization.
I'm John Lawrence. I serve as the Vice President for Extension and Outreach at Iowa State University.
How many offices do you have?
So in Iowa, we have 100 county extension offices. There's 99 counties that each have one, and Pottawatomie County has two, East Pottawatomie and West Pottawatomie. And then we also were joined at the hip between the counties and campus. So it's really this partnership between Iowa State University and the research-based information that we take out across the state, not only through our county offices, but we have specialists located across the state that help deliver programming as well.
How long has this been going on?
Extension has been around formally at the federal level was the Smith-Lever Act signed in 1913. Iowa State University actually started the extension concept that the rest of the country followed in 1903. We started with putting a professor on a train and sending him to Northwest Iowa to talk to farmers about seed corn selection. That was in 1903. And by 1905, just 2 years later, we were sending train loads of professors. We would put them on a train Monday morning and send them out to rural community. And they would run a week-long short course in that community around agriculture, home economics, community development, and boys and girls clubs. And so that was in 1905. And by the time the feds signed the Smith-Lever Act in 1913, we'd done over 170 of those short courses here in Iowa.
You mentioned boys and girls clubs. Was this the beginning of 4-H?
Yes, it was. Very good. 4-H is one of our key programs we deliver statewide. And yeah, that from the very beginning was one of the things we did. And at that time, and still today, we often use the 4-H as a way of teaching things that they take home and work with their parents on.
What kind of things do you mean?
Well, in the beginning, it was around more efficient corn production. They started with corn clubs, and we soon had young men and women growing more corn on an acre than their dads did. And it didn't take dad long to figure out maybe I ought to pay attention. We also do that on things around food safety, around computer skills. You think about where you're going to get some of your computer skills today is probably with your kids. But other things around leadership, citizenship, and other types of skills as well.
In general, that extension has gone well beyond agriculture in the education that it provides. Is that right?
Absolutely. Our four main program areas are, of course, we still do agriculture and natural resources. We do human sciences, and that's everything from, nutrition and wellness to family finance. We work a lot in caregiving, child care providers, food insecurity. We work in communities, community economic development, leadership development within communities, training clerks and assessors and the skills that they need, strategic planning for communities. And then, of course, with our youth, as I said, a broad base and in the STEM fields, as well as leadership and civic engagement.
Well, of course, now with COVID-19, this must really interfere with your programming. Do you have ways to cope with this?
Oh, absolutely. Because we are part of Iowa State University, when back in mid-March, the university announced that they were stopping all in-person meetings, and a lot of that was targeted at students, but it also applied to extension. So we canceled, postponed, or put online any meeting we had that was going to be face-to-face, and we've done that through the end of May. So for 4-H, for example, we have 4-H at Home, where they posted a lot of online activities for kids that could do at home, and we're beginning to have some virtual 4-H club meetings. Our human sciences program have really stepped up around things like mental health, food insecurity, training for child care providers, for caregivers, and other types of programming that we've put all online in our multi-session training and educational programming. Our family finance people have just gone to a one-on-one education instead of trying to convert a curriculum over to Zoom or something like that. We've just said, if you have questions about your finance, call us and we'll visit with you one-on-one. If it's about reworking your budget, how to stretch your food dollar, how to file for unemployment claims, what resources might be available to help me, our folks can talk to those people or one-on-one, not face-to-face. Iowa Concern Hotline. We often refer people, whether it's around mental health and stress, legal education. We're not lawyers, but we can help you ask intelligent questions on the legal side, as well as resources around finance that we can help direct people, help them ask the right questions when they go to those resources.
Well, I would like to know, as a consumer of Extension, back before there was any need to distance, if I had a question about something in the garden, I would just call Extension. Or if I had a bug question, I'd call Donald Lewis. And so this is some of what Extension does naturally.
Absolutely. The telephone and has been a big part of what we do. People call, as you say, or they will send in a bug or a leaf off a tree. And we've been doing that for decades. Locally, they may go into their county office and they could, the county office would send those insects in. They can still call and make arrangements to drop it off safely, or they can mail it directly to our plant and insect diagnostic clinic that's here on campus. But again, certainly the phone calls, video chats are still there. We have just ramped up and doing more of that because we can't have the face-to-face discussions.
You mentioned mental health. Do you have counseling by phone?
We're in the education business, so we have a behavioral specialist that, in fact, just this morning for our own staff, we had him present about how to take care of yourself when you're working at home, working remotely. Make sure that you don't further isolate yourself, ways to reduce stress, and so on. So we would tend to educate more about this. In fact, this week, tomorrow, I believe, we're starting a series of meetings around suicide detection and prevention, those that may have that tendency. And the education is targeted at our agribusinesses, our bankers, our seed salesmen, co-op workers that work with farmers that in normal times would be sitting across the kitchen table from them. Today, they may be across the pickup hood, 6 feet away, but they will see things that maybe other people would not recognize, but they need to know what to watch for. So that's an example around the mental health education that we can help people detect. And it's obviously available to those beyond agribusiness, but the examples we would be using in our class would be part of that. We teach mental health first aid, which is very intensive. It's an 8-hour long class to be certified in mental health first aid, but we provide that as well. So not direct counseling, but helping build the capacity of people in a community, in circles, to be able to detect and help and hold meaningful conversations with people that maybe are dealing with stress, and hopefully get them to folks that can help them.
Well, thank you. Do you have any concluding remarks that you want to make?
Let me talk a little bit about some things going on in Story County. As we said, we have extension in every county of the state. Story County, Eugenia Hartsook is our executive director. She's been the county director there. And June 1, she'll become part of Iowa State University, but keep a similar role. The doors are closed to the public, but we're still open for business. Just as we said, we're still returning phone calls and can help answer questions and direct people to resources. One of the things that we've done to help Iowa State and other students is our Wi-Fi that we have at our county offices can reach beyond our walls. So we've got people that will pull up in our parking lot to access our Wi-Fi, and particularly important for some of our students who are finishing their semester online. Some examples of some programs we're transforming or moving to the internet. We had a chicken chat planned for our 4-H'ers that were going to be hatching chicks for the county fair. Well, we're going to do that in a online setting with Zoom that we'll still be able to teach those kids about hatching their chicks and getting them started. And we're providing other services, as I said, by phone or Facebook Live. And so a lot of things going on, including STEM activities that are being packaged and delivered along with the school lunches at some of the participating school districts.
Well, it's very, very impressive what you are doing. And is there anything that I have neglected to give you a chance to say?
You know, I think we covered everything I had kind of on my list. You know, the resources around Iowa Concern Hotline, you know, it's 800-447-1985. That's available 24/7. It's free. It's a phone. You can even live chat if you'd rather text someone. There's Answer Line that's out there, 800-262-3804. Around, you know, consumer questions around food safety or other types of questions that people may have that that folks can call in on. Well, so those are some of those main ones, and we talked about the others.
Well, thank you. I think this has been very thorough and very valuable for obviously people throughout our listening area. As you just heard from John Lawrence, Extension has many services that are available during this COVID-19 crisis. And on our website, we will have links to these as well as the telephone numbers for the hotline and the answer line. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts today, Susan Franzen and Pat Schlarbaum. We started our show with Kathy Cooney, then Carolyn Raffensperger, Henry Corbin, and John Lawrence.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon today, there will be a special program from the Ames Public Library to brighten your spirits and those of children who might be living with you. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifeb.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories.
In the spirit of rebroadcast, I'd like to point out that the special Ames Public Library program that will air at noon today will be rebroadcast on Saturday, April 18th at 2 p.m.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, please contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us. If you call to decide to become a member or renew your membership today, just look for the yellow Become a Member Donor button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.